Welcome to the podcast, How to Run and Grow Your Solo Patent Practice with Anant Kataria and Fez Wahid of Sagacious IP. This is a one-of-its-kind podcast focused on existing and aspiring solo or small patent practitioners, interviewing successful solo or small patent practitioners and bringing to you proven, actionable insights to start, build, and grow your patent practice. Learn firsthand how to acquire, serve, and retain clients for long-term success. All this while effectively juggling the multiple roles that one has to play as a solo or small patent practitioner. If you run a solo or small patent practice or are planning to start one, whether you're currently in a mid-size or big law firm or coming fresh out of law school, this podcast series will help you learn from the successful ones who have faced and overcome the challenges you are dealing with. So let's get into the podcast with your hosts, Anant Kataria and Fez Wahid.
Welcome to today's episode of How to Run and Grow a Solo Patent Practice. Our guest for today is Keith Harrison from Arc Latex Patents. He runs his practice from Shreveport, Louisiana. He holds a BS and an MS degree in biology. Keith has worked in the patent field since 1993 when he began assisting his father, a longtime Shreveport patent agent, in the preparation of patent applications. He started independent practice as a patent attorney in 1999, and his focus is independent inventors and small companies, and he helps them protect their patent rights. So let's take the conversation forward with him and learn from his experience on how to run and grow a solo patent practice. Keith, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
Well, thank you so much for being here. Keith, would you, it'll be so interesting to learn a bit about Arc Latex. Please tell us the story of Arc Latex.
Okay, well, I am a solo patent practitioner, and the practice began back in 1969 when my father, who was a patent attorney, started out as a general practice attorney and gradually transitioned into patent work. His practice ended up being devoted to patent and trademark practice, and he retired in 2010, and by the time he retired, it was a thriving practice. He had much patent work. And I started working for him in 1993 when I got out of college and just kind of got into the work at that point. And then I was licensed to practice in 1999. So I've been officially practicing since 1999 for a total of 21 years now.
That's pretty great. 21 years is a good time for a practice.
Yeah, that's right.
So, Keith, most of the people whom we generally speak on the podcast, have a history of, corporate work experience where they have worked in, let's say, a corporate company where technology is being developed and then they move on, either to a law firm or to start their own practice. And of course, you have been prior to independent practice, you were the full professional career that you carried. So how did you make this kind of a decision so early in your career that you really wanted to be an independent practitioner? So what was that, thought process and how has been your experience with this practice?
Well, I kind of entered the patent field by accident somewhat. When I graduated from college in 1992, I attended medical school for 1 year. And after that year was finished, I decided that I didn't want to pursue that path. My dad was a patent attorney here in town, and so I decided to work for him. I thought it would be just a summer job just to keep me busy until the fall. And I thought about applying to pharmacy school and becoming a pharmacist. But the more I started working for him, the more I realized that I really had a penchant for the work. I like to write and I like mechanical things. And so patent work is a perfect combination between writing, technical writing, and mechanical skills. So it turned out that I had the right background for it. I had a bachelor's degree in biology, and that qualified to be registered before the patent office. And so I just started continuing to work for him for that whole summer on into the fall. And that was in the fall of the summer of 1993. Just continued to work and continued to work. I went back to school and got my master's degree. And then finally in 1999 is when I took the patent exam and became registered to practice.
That's very interesting. So we noticed some of the key things in your profile around, you know, retention of customers and you know, you also invested in building some custom tools, etc. Anant, I'll request you to ask few questions in that space.
Right. Yeah. So that was pretty interesting. I mean, we saw that, you know, 98% of your business comes from existing customers, and that too when these existing customers are mostly individual inventors and SMEs or SMBs. So this is quite unique, and we see that there is something that you're doing that's helping retain customers, especially these, you know, SMBs who generally would not be ones with repeat business or a lot of business. So we'd like to, you know, learn what are the key practices that have allowed you to achieve this I would say, you know, milestone.
Okay. Well, basically, you know, what I have now is basically what my father handed to me when I began starting work for him. So many of the same clients that I have now are the same clients that he has. And so part of the process of learning how to do patent work is also learning how to properly interface with clients and how to relate to clients, how to please clients and that kind of thing. And so I learned a lot of that from my dad. And one of the things that I would say is the most important is to, whenever you're out and they call and you return to the office and you have a message that they have called you, to call them, return their call as promptly as possible. That makes them feel important, makes them feel like you're really paying attention to their situation. And also, when you receive a communication from the patent office, always let them know that you've received it as soon as possible, so that that tells them that you're on top of the situation and you're eager to follow through on whatever the patent office requires as you handle, you know, their issues. So those two things I'd say are probably among the most important things that you can do to please a client and then, you know, keep them coming back for additional business.
Yeah, that's interesting. It looks like you've been servicing your customers pretty promptly. So, you know, this kind of retention, I think it's not very usual. So yeah, I can see value in what you're doing and the way you're. And, you know, we also noted that you've invested in building a custom tool for managing customer information. So, you know, in this world when we are just surrounded by subscription-based tools, you know, there are CRMs and all those things. What, you know, drove this need of building something custom for you? That it'll be interesting to know what led to that.
You know, I think everybody has to use whatever tools and situations, you know, tools and systems will accord with the way they like to get things done. Some people are more prone to using subscription-based tools. Others kind of customize their own system and tools to deal with, you know, whatever they have to deal with in a business. In this particular business, the most important thing is to keep track of due dates that the patent office requires for each application. You know, when you file a patent application, they will issue an office action based on their examination of the application. And of course, you always have a certain amount of time to respond to those office actions. So you have to really keep track of those due dates for those. When you have 50 or 60 or 70 patent applications going at one time, you know, it can be kind of a challenge to keep track of those due dates. So basically what I use is just a calendar system. My assistant keeps track of it. She has a calendar that she enters the due dates for each office action on. It's a day that corresponds to each day of each month. And whenever the due date approaches, or basically whenever the month approaches, she'll print a copy of that calendar and then give it to me. And then I'll look and see what days, certain office actions are due on. And I also have a hanging file that I use in my office, and I put a notepad, a sticky pad on there that has the due date for the office action. So I regularly go through the hanging files so I don't get behind on what responses need to be made and when they need to be made. And so in that way, I've been able to keep track of those due dates without too much trouble and, you know, be able to respond to those office actions in a timely fashion by using the calendar and by using the notepad system. So it's kind of a low-tech system. It's kind of the system that my dad used back when he was practicing. And since it works, to my satisfaction, I never have really seen the need to, you know, use any other kind of system It's always worked for me, so I've always used it.
Right. This is very interesting. So this is like a combination of a digital and a physical system that you're using. And yeah, if it works, why change it? Yeah, that's good.
Right. So I've been listening in, you know, these different things around promptness and the importance of time and the importance of engaging and keeping your customers engaged. But if you have to pick one most critical thing that you would like to advise to someone who has a new practice or is thinking of starting a new practice, what would be that one key thing that you would tell based on your experience of last, you know, 20, 21 years to this person?
Well, you know, if you're still trying to decide whether or not to pursue a career in patent law, I would tell you that if you like writing and you like mechanical things, then those two things are essential to be able to do well, you know, in patent law. You know, I always ask people who are interested in a career in patent law, I ask them if they like to take toys apart and put them back together when they were children, that kind of thing, you know, so that evidence is a natural curiosity about mechanical things and how things work. And if you like to do that and you like to enjoy writing, then both of those two things are critical to be able to do well at your job. And you have to be able to do well in order to please the clients, you know, and to retain their clients. So I would say those two things are very important. Once you start a practice, I would say the most important thing is to keep the client informed about his or her patent application, you know, the things that come back from the patent office, the things that need to be done, your recommendations about what needs to be done and that kind of thing. And also returning phone calls when you're out of the office, you know, when you return, be sure to promptly return those phone calls. Those things will keep the client pleased and continue to come back for additional work and also to receive referrals to other clients.
Right. That's very inspiring. I think to hear you handle different things and make the system work. I'm sure these couple of practices that you have shared will be useful for the listeners. In case that any of them want to reach out to you, how can they contact you, Keith?
Well, my primary business email is jhpatent@aol.com. My phone number is 318-797-7160. And my website is arklatexpatent.com. ARKLATEXPATENT. And you can, there's a link on there where you can send me an email through the website if you'd like to do it that way.
Great. That's wonderful. And, you know, before I close, I just have one additional question for you, particularly around the ArcLatex region. So, Is that really the focus area that you have, like this regional focus for the practice, or it's just a name and now the practice and the patents you are filing are for larger geographies or larger set of clients?
Well, yeah, primarily my clients are from the ArcLatex. I live in Northwest Louisiana, which the ArcLatex includes in Northwest Louisiana, Northeast Texas, and then Southeast or Southwest Arkansas. So that's primarily where my clients come from, but I have clients that are scattered all around the country. Massachusetts, I have one as far west as Arizona. I have several over in Texas, and they have several in Oklahoma. So they're kind of scattered around, but most of them are concentrated here in the ArcLatex area.
Okay, interesting. So thank you. That brings us to the end of the podcast. We learned great insights from you, and we learned about your experiences, about running the solo patent practice. I believe the usefulness of investing in relationship and having a system of your own is crucial for the success. And last but not the least, the two things that you mentioned about, you know, aligning one's skills to the job, and once you start the practice, then keeping, you know, interactions with the client promptly. Those have been your critical factors of success. So thanks for sharing them with us. And we look forward to have you again on the show. Thanks a lot.
Sure. Thank you. It's my pleasure.
Thank you for listening to the podcast, How to Run and Grow Your Solo Patent Practice, with your hosts, Anant Kataria and Fez Wahid from Sagacious IP. If you enjoyed this episode, please do rate it and listen to more episodes in the series. For more information about supporting your practice with external resources, write to us at info@sagaciousresearch.com. Please do note that the contents of this podcast were intended for general informational purposes only. The views of the guests and hosts were their personal views and do not represent Sagacious IP. The facts of every legal matter are unique, and the content of this podcast should not be considered as offering legal advice for your specific legal situation. The preceding information may be considered attorney advertisement and does not establish an attorney-client relationship.